And read a passage from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 6. And we're going to read all the way through. Romans chapter 6. Beginning at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God clearly teaches in the Bible that when someone truly becomes a child of God, he tells us that God, Holy Spirit, indwells us. I'm pretty much sure that all of us know that, but God, Holy Spirit, indwells the true believers. But the true believers, we have a problem. We have a body that is not saved. We have to carry our bodies around with us. And the only time that we're going to be free from this sinful bodies of ours, because our bodies are still under the curse of God, our bodies get sick, just like the unsaved. We get sick, we die, some of us die of natural causes, and you know, our bodies are with us, and the only time we're going to be free from it is if God takes us in death or he comes on the last day. But we are halfway saved. In our spirit, where God has made us alive spiritually, this body of ours is a problem for the true believers. That's why you could see that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You know, our bodies, and as true believers, we are not, we shouldn't use this excuse to sin. Oh well, you know, I have a body, and whatever people say, and they hide behind that, and they sin. But true believers, we don't want to sin. But the potential is there that we could fall into sin. Because our bodies, you see, it's there, but it's a huge difference between the saved and the unsaved. The unsaved, he has a conscience. God's law is on his heart. He knows it to a certain degree. He can attempt to do certain things which are correct. The husband may not cheat on his wife. Intuitively, he knows it's wrong to take someone's life or to steal or to whatever the case is. Unsaved man, he knows that. And he will try up himself to, if he's a decent moral person, he tries to live the best he can to according to some things in the Bible. But keep in mind that he doesn't have a new heart. He's still unsaved. He could be a morally decent person, and I'm sure you've met, I've met quite a few of them. They're just a nice person. You know, they're kind to their fellow man. They'll give you the shirt off their back, so to speak. But they're not saved. God has not given them a new heart. They're still under the control of sin. You see, they're still love their sin. You see, deep within their heart, there's a love for sin. They may not act it out as some people might do, but that desire is there to sin, but God restrains them. He restrains the human race to a certain degree, and that decent moral person will not go all out. But we don't know what you're thinking. Your thoughts are just as sinful as your actions. So deep within that person's heart, although he's morally a decent person, he's thinking sinfully. You know, he has the same desires there, but God just restrains him. But as for the child of God, God has given us a new nature. He's given us a new heart, you see. And there's a conflict there. There's a conflict in the true believer's heart because of the sinful body that he's in. But we know that if we look at Ezekiel chapter 36, another beautiful verse that God tells us that how he is in verse 25, he says in Ezekiel 36:25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you." Notice who's doing the work. The I there is God. He says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." God is doing the action, and he shall be clean from all your filthiness. Spiritually speaking, it's not in our bodies yet until the last day, which is approaching very quickly, the last day. And, you know, we're filthy people. You know, hear the expression, we're dirty, rotten, filthy sinners. It's true. It's a word in the Bible. It's true. We're filthy sinners. "And from all your idols will I cleanse you." God is doing the work, you see. A new heart would also give you, and a new spirit. See, God, Holy Spirit, now he has given us a new spirit. He comes and he makes his abode with us in our bodies. How is that possible? That God will indwell our sinful bodies. But he does. You see, and in the true believer's body, where he has a new nature, he has this body that is not saved. And he has to carry it around with him. That's why if you're truly a child of God, we're only a few months away from the end of the world. We should rejoice. That very soon, very shortly, in a few months, our salvation is going to be completed. God is going to give us a brand new resurrected body, whatever that is. And we will be perfect. Sin will be gone. This world is going to be destroyed. And here we are with Christ forever and ever. You see, so. But in the meantime, we have to carry our bodies around with us. Look at Psalm 37. Let's look at a couple of verses. God tells us here in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Here he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." See, the new heart that God has given to us, we're going to delight in the things of Christ, spiritual things, because that's what the new heart desires. True believers are going to delight in things of the Lord. We're only happiest when we're being obedient to God, you see. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It's the new heart, you see.
As we read the Bible, you know, it's our joy to do it God's way. So when the true believer falls into sin, something isn't right because he has sinned against God, you see. And he says, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, the true believers, we desire the things of the Lord. We hate sin. As I said earlier, the potential is there that some people might think that when we become saved, we sin no longer. In our spirit, we don't. We're that part of us that have experienced salvation. But in our bodies, that potential is still there that we may fall into sin. It's still there. We have to drag it around with us. And look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. There we read, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. We are righteous because Christ has made us righteous. So the true believers, we rejoice in the Lord to do it God's way. And the reason we rejoice? Because our sins are paid for. See, we're no longer in trouble with God. Sentence of death doesn't hang over our head anymore. The Lord Jesus has saved us, and we rejoice in that. You know, because he has made us righteous. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And Christ is the one who has made us upright in heart. We had nothing to do with that. And we rejoice in him because the Lord Jesus now has saved us from eternal death. And we're no longer threatened by hell and death any longer. So we rejoice. That's what a new heart does. It rejoices in the Lord. You see, we're at home when we're doing it God's way. God's way. But let's look at this body that God has given to us. This body that we have, the true believers, and we can't separate ourselves from it. Either Christ take us in death or on the last day. But look at Galatians. Galatians, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. Here God has given us some instructions how we ought to live out our life as true believers. One of the ways that we ought to do it. Here God says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And how do we do that? He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. But let's go back up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. How can we do that? But first, we have to have the Spirit of God. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we can't walk in the Spirit. Because God clearly tells us in Romans 8, we'll hold our hand here and go over to Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 9, he tells us that, he says there, in Romans 8, verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the only way we could live out our life is, as me and God says, walk in the Spirit. We're living out our life in obedience to God, doing what God commands us to do. We have to have the Spirit of God in us. The unsaved don't have the Spirit of God in them, so he cannot walk in the Spirit of God. You see, so in order for us to, as God commands us in Galatians, to walk in the Spirit first, God has to give us his Holy Spirit to live out our lives according to his commandments. You know, people say, you're not literally walk, but we have to live out our lives according to God's commandments, as we are walking with the Lord. We're being obedient to His commandments. You see. Let's look at Colossians. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Here it says, "As ye have therefore received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." You see, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As we live out our lives before God in obedience to Him, we're walking in the Spirit of God. You see, the unsaved can't do that. As moral as that person might be, if he's not saved, he cannot walk in the Spirit of God because he doesn't have it. The true believers, God has given us that desire to want to be obedient to Him. And as we live out our life, we're walking in the Spirit of God, in obedience to Him. Let's look at another verse in 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Here God tells us, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God." How we ought to walk and please God. That is the desire of the new heart that God has given to us. How we ought to walk and please God so He would abound more and more. "For ye know that what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that he should abstain from fornication, and that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." So you see here God tells us that we have to walk and please God. Not to please ourselves or our fellow man, but God. As we walk in the Spirit, and as we seek to be obedient to God, we're walking in the Spirit of God. See, temptations will come. Testing will come, and all these things will come, but we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves, you know, some people think because if they don't do this or that, they're denying themselves of something. We don't need that sin in our life. Sin has deceived us. Sin has deceived us. You see, but in our bodies, which is not saved, we're going to be tested, tempted. But God will strengthen us. We have to take ourselves off of poor me and place it on Christ and ask Him for strength to do it His way. Because from the moment we start to look within ourselves for strength, we're going to fall. We are going to fall into sin. Because remember, we live in this body that is not saved. It's there. And from the moment you start saying, "Poor me, you know, I've got to have this or that sin." No. We ask God for strength and turn away from it. We turn away from that sin. True believers, the last thing we want to do is sin against our Savior. No. We don't want to do that. We pray God that He will give us a hatred for our sin. To turn away from it, no matter what the sin might be. You see, sin is why we're in trouble in God. We are. It's because of sin. And we're living in a day where sin is just multiplying. Multiplying. We live in this world. We see it. The family is destroyed. Look at society in general. Look at the church. Sin is everywhere. Does that give me an excuse to do it? No. I often tell my kids, in our day, physical fornication is as common as grass. It is everywhere. I often tell my children, God give us an example of Joseph. Remember Joseph living in Potiphar's house? Flee fornication. Flee sin, not only fornication, but all sin. Get away from it. If you have a friend in your life, or whoever it is, if you're watching the wrong TV programs, or you're you're reading the wrong books and it's causing you to mind to go down the wrong path, turn away from them. Turn away from it. You know, we're going to look at a verse later on. God tells us to crucify the flesh. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Sin is horrible. You see, and we have to be careful what we're spending our time doing. You know, we've got to be careful. You know, we live in a world today where these electronic things, kids could spend hour after hour after hour on this thing. Don't even realize the passing of time. Before you know it, 3-4 hours has passed. And they don't even realize it. But we have to be careful what we're doing with our time, what we're feeding our minds with. You see, that's causing us to sin against God. Feed our minds with the Word of God. You see, we can't go wrong spending time in God's Word. You see, but back over in Galatians chapter 5 where we were, God says, then I say, walk in the Spirit. You see, walk in the Spirit, and this is the Spirit of God. Ask God for wisdom to help us to be obedient to His commandments, because we cannot do it of ourselves. We cannot serve God of ourselves. We can't do it. God has to guide us, you see. And it says that He shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, we have to live our lives in obedience to God and ask God for wisdom and guidance and strength to walk humbly before God and to be obedient to Him. Other than that, we're going to fall. From the moment you take your eyes off of Christ, you're going to fall into sin. We see that with King David, didn't he? And here we know that King David is the child of God. He took his eyes off of God momentarily, and what happens? Remember, he has a body just like us that weren't saved. He took his eyes off of God for a moment, and look what happened. He fell into sin. He fell right into sin, and it could happen to any one of us. But the moment you think you have arrived, you know, you've been reading the Bible for 50 years and all is well, and you, so to speak, you drop your guard. Sin is always there, and you could fall into sin before you know it. We shouldn't use, as I said earlier, we shouldn't use our body as an excuse to sin. We want to get away from it. Get away from sin. Because the potential still lies in the child of God's life that we could fall into sin momentarily. We're not going to remain in it. But we're going to have a... Oh, you're going to know that something has happened in your life. And before you know it, God's going to send chastisements in your life to straighten you out. He will chastise you. You see. So we have to walk very humbly in this life and ask God for strength to mortify the flesh. We cannot do it of ourselves, you know. We can't do that. But let's go on a little further. Look at 2 John. Go over to 2 John. It's only have, I believe, one chapter in 2 John. We're going to read verses 4 and 6. It says, I rejoice greatly that I found us thy children walking in truth. And you know, truth is Christ Himself. We walk in Him, you see, because God has given us the Spirit of God, as He has received a commandment from the Father. And verse 6 says, and this is love, that ye walk after His commandments. See, the new heart that God has given to us, we're going to walk after God's commandments. You see, we're going to want to be obedient to what God has said within the Bible. You see, one of the wonderful things is that true believers could read the Bible, which we should do. We have to ask for obedience. We're walking His commandments. Oh Lord, help me to do Thy will each day, each moment. You see, we can't fall into self-pity. And that could easily happen to any one of us. Poor me. Look at me. I'm always in something always happened to me. No, we should look at it the other way. Maybe the Spirit of God rests upon you. You see. Remember, God says, whom He loves, He chastens them. So we shouldn't look, oh, you know, I'm always something always going on. No, we should look at it in another way. We should ask the Lord, maybe you are His child, you see. Let's go on a little further. Look at Psalm 51.
In Psalm 51, remember what happened to David when he fell into sin? You see his reaction? And now we know that he is a child of God. He was a child of God. We know that. There's no question about King David. And you see a true believer's reaction if we do fall into sin? He's not, oh well, you know, I sinned, so what? No, look at what was going on in the heart of King David when he fell into sin. And so it is that any true believer, sin now is offensive to him. He doesn't want to do it, but if it does happen, if he does fall into sin, you see the reaction of a child of God. When you read through Psalm 51, you see how his response is. It says in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You see the reaction of a child of God when we fall into sin? This is our reaction. We terribly feel terrible. How could I sin against my Lord? But we know that that fellowship temporarily there has been broken. It's been broken. But you know that we could go to God again. And, oh Lord, forgive me for this. Strengthen me. And as I turn from this sin, oh Lord, strengthen me. You see, our reaction to sin is completely different than the unsaved. The unsaved, momentarily, his conscience will bother him about committing that sin. But after a while, it's gone. But the true believer is a totally different reaction to sin in his life. And so should be our reaction to sin if we're a child of God. Our reaction should be, how could it? No excuse. You don't alibi it. We don't cover it up. We go to God and we admit it, our sin before God. And we never want to use our bodies as an excuse. No, I commit that sin. And wonderfully, we could go to God to restore that relationship. It doesn't mean that he's not still saved, because we're eternally saved. We can't lose our salvation, but we don't want to sin against God, you see. We want to be obedient to his commandments. As I said, the potential there to fall into sin, it does exist. But see, that's why we have to walk humbly before God and pray for strength, and we spend time in God's word. If you're not spending time in God's word, you know, we have to, because that's what a new heart desires. The new heart is going to desire the word of God. You know, as we read the Bible, you know, we spiritually we grow in grace, but if we're not spending time in God's word, we're leaving ourselves open to fall into sin. We fall into sin. And we should always want to stay in a right relationship with God. You know, who wants to sin and that terrible feeling comes over you? It's terrible. But we always want to walk humbly before God and pray for strength. Pray for strength to do it God's way. Let's look at another verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 28. Remember I said earlier, we never want to alibi for our sin. We should always confess it before God and turn away from it. In Proverbs 28, verses 13 and 14. There we read Proverbs 28, verses 13 and 14. We read, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Turn away from them. See, sin has deceived us. You know, one of the reasons why we commit sin is because it looks good, feels good, but the end result of it is death. If sin didn't make unsaved man feel good, he will never do it. You know, it brings some enjoyment to the flesh. That's all it's doing. That's what sin does. It makes the flesh feel good. An unsaved man, he goes out and he does his thing. But the child of God is different. When we sin, we feel terrible. Terrible that we're sinned against God. And in verse 14 of Proverbs 28, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief."
You see, when we sin, we don't try to say, oh, they made me do it. Our sin is our own. I did it. See, and many of you ever hear people, oh, well, you know, it was my parents were the horrible parent and whatever, you know, and that's why I'm in jail. Your sin is your own. Your sin is your own. You can't blame anybody for it. You did it. And the one thing that unsaved man won't do, he won't admit he's wrong. He's always trying to... He started right in the Garden of Eden. Isn't that what our parents did? He made me do it. And eventually they tried to blame God. But our sin is our own. You know, we admit our wickedness before God, and it just might be that God might forgive you of your sins. But from the moment you try to cover it up and blame somebody and won't take responsibilities for your actions, it's pride. Pride. But a true believer is different. We confess our sins before God, and we, oh Lord, renew a right spirit within me, you know, and cause me, oh Lord, to be humble and turn me away from this sin. And as we're turning away from the sin, oh Lord, strengthen me to do it your way. And that ought to be the reaction of the child of God. Look at Psalm 32, verse 5. In Psalm 32, verse 5, look at the reaction we should have. In Psalm 32, verse 5, to sin, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. We don't want to hide our wickedness from God, from our sin. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin seal. See the mercy of God? Confess our sin before God, and God is merciful. God is merciful, and we know that in the day in which we are living, God is still forgiving sinners of their sin. You see, God is merciful. No matter how we've lived our life, and God, the grace of God is sufficient. Let's go on and look a little bit further. We see also when we look at in Romans 7. Remember in Romans 7, there we read about Paul the Apostle. We see the conflict that he had with sin. We know that the Apostle Paul is truly saved. And we see that he recognized the fact that he has a body that is not saved. We have a body that is not saved. And here he says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, which is the new spirit that God has given him. He delights in it, in the word of God. He delights to do God's way. But I see in verse 23, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, true believers, in our spirit, we want to do the law of God. We want to be obedient to Him, which we have become saved in our spirit essence. But this body of ours, we have to carry it around with us. And he sees that there's a war, it's a spiritual warfare, it's a war, spirit against the body, body against the spirit. You see, and we long for that day when we will be home with Christ, receive our new spiritual bodies. And now we'll be perfect before God, and we'll have to struggle or fight with sin any longer. And this is the desire of the true believers. You see, to be with Christ. But you see what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying here, that he has a body of death. Of death, you see. Our bodies of the true believers, as I said earlier, get sick and die just like the unsaved. Because our bodies are still under the curse of God. Still there. Sin is in this body, you see. But we look forward to that day when we will receive our new body. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 10. Now, God is going to instruct us how, as true believers, how we ought to deal with our bodies. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. There we read, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Mortify it. That mortify means to put to death. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You see, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime." Remember, before we were saved, we were living according to the dictates of the flesh. We're just doing what, you know, whatever we want to. "When he lived in them, but now he also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after," this is the key word in this verse, "after the image of him that created him." See, God, Holy Spirit indwells us, and it's created after him. Because God, Holy Spirit, indwells us. And we are going to do it God's way. But dear God tells us that we have to mortify our bodies. Put it to death. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Deal with yourself harshly. If it means I have to stop doing this, stop being around that, you do it. Because we want to be obedient to God's commandments. You see, we need another sin, that can, another hole in my head. But you don't need that. See, but God tells us how we have to deal with our bodies. We have to deal harshly with it. Have no quarter. You have to do what you have to do. You know, can't read certain things or spending our time doing the wrong thing or whatever. We stop doing it. You see, we want to walk and do it God's way. God tells us to walk in the Spirit. You see, and we will not obey the lust of the flesh. You know, God tells us in the Bible that really we have to fill our minds with the Word of God. Whatever things are lovely and all these things, we have to be thinking about these things. You see, if we're filling our mind with garbage, how are we going to walk before God and so forth? We just can't. We have to walk with our minds focused on Christ. Remember the scripture verse there in let's turn back over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you," God, Holy Spirit, you're born again, he says, "and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," if you're born again, God, Holy Spirit indwells you, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to walk after the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if he through the Spirit," see, we can't mortify our flesh on our own. "If he through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." We can't do it on our own. It's through the Spirit of God that indwells us do we mortify the flesh. You see, it's not our own actions, is God, Holy Spirit, that indwells us. You see, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's through the Spirit of God that's in us that helps us to mortify the deeds of the body. We cannot do it on our own. We're helpless. You see, let's look at Gospel of Mark. God tells us there, Mark chapter 9, another familiar passage. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. He says, if thy hand offend you, cut it off. Does it mean that you cut your arm off? No. God is speaking about our bodies. If that sin in their life is a problem, turn away from it. Deal with yourself harshly. Don't feel sorry for yourself. And in verse 45, he says, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. In verse 47, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. You see how God is instructing us how we are to deal with our bodies? Don't feel say, poor me, or I need that sin in my life. No, we don't. Sin has deceived us. Although it's all around us, no. Remember Daniel and his three friends living in Babylon? And these were kids. Did they succumb to all these things that were around them? No. By God, Holy Spirit indwells us, and with His help and His guidance, we can be obedient to God. We cannot do it up ourselves. Let's look at, it's like, you know, our bodies are one big test. Who are you going to obey? Remember we read parts of Romans 6 earlier? You see, who are you serving? Either your body or you're serving Christ. You can't have both ways. You're either serving God or you're serving the dictates of the flesh. Our bodies is a test. God saves us. He leaves us in our bodies, and it's there. Who are you going to obey? The body is a test every day. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test to us. The unsaved, he just goes all out and do his thing. But the true believer, it's a conflict. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Here God tells us, flee fornication. Get away from it. You know, we're living in, I said earlier, we're living in a world where fornication is as common as grass. You know, as common as grass. We ought to get, God tells us, any sin, get away from it. Don't think you could walk as close to sin as possible and you're not going to fall into it. No. You get away from sin. Get away from those companies, the kids or other kids around, other kids, they're doing the wrong thing. You don't want to be a part of that. So God tells us a free fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. We're not free to do what we want. We want to be obedient to God's commandments. You see, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In our bodies. God is telling us we use our bodies to glorify God, if you're a true believer, and to serve Him. You don't want to use your hands to steal and all these things. We use our hands in a glorified way to hand out tracts, you know. Use our bodies to glorify God and your spirit, which are God's. Turn back over to Romans 6 that I read earlier. In Romans 6, verse 12 to 17. Romans 6, verses 12 to 17. Here God is telling us. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. You know, your reign is like a king on a throne. Don't let that sin reign in your life. Don't let it control you. Well, sin controls unsaved men, because when we become saved, the power of sin has been broken in our life because of what Christ has done for us. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You see, as those that are alive from the dead, and we are alive from the dead spiritually, Because before we're saved, we're spiritually dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin doesn't rule over the true believer's life. It does before we were saved. You see. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Before we were saved, we were servants to sin. You see. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. See the difference? Is it? Complete difference when before we're saved and afterwards. Sin has control over us before we're saved. But after God, Holy Spirit indwells us, no longer. No longer does sin can reign in my life. Sin is reigning in a person's life. They may not be saved. See, by God's mercy and God's help, he has turned us away from it. But the potential lies that if we take our eyes off Christ, we could fall into sin. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together around thy word. Could it be, O Lord, that you will bless thy words to our hearts and have us to walk in obedience before thee. Strengthen us, O Lord, and help us to mortify the body. O Lord, have us not to look for strength within ourselves because we have none. But, O Lord, but through Christ we could do all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have a verse or a question or a correction? That clock is a little fast, so it's about 10 minutes fast. Yes, Sally? Hebrews? Hebrews 10. And what verse? Hebrews 10:22. Here he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You have a comment on that? Yeah, they both tie in. In Psalm 119, verse 9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word? Yes. Yeah, Jim?
I would just like to say that the closing comment could be also Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Yeah, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, yeah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, when we become saved, our bodies now, we just want to use our bodies to serve Christ and turn away from sin. Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back at 11:30 for a second Bible study.